Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 244, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, July 5th, 2022.
Right.
Everybody in the United States is feeling that long weekend.
Oh, yeah.
End of the long weekend, first day back. I don't know about everybody listening, but I just feel great at that point. I'm always just like, yeah. No, I feel terrible. So hopefully, we're recording this before the long weekend. So hopefully you can, you know, via osmosis, take some of our long weekend vibes. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Drink Do Until I Die. Let's chase that sugar high. That is Nicki Minaj's Starships repurposed to describe my weekend, which is going to be a lot of slamming dews.
Hell yeah.
Slamming some, Matt slamming mountains of dew.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Probably not. I might have like half of a Mountain Dew. I feel terrible. My body shuts down if I drink too much Mountain Dew at this point.
Yeah.
But I'm 41. Hey.
That's how it goes.
I'm thrilled to be joined by a very special guest co-host. As mentioned, not on the ones and twos. He's on the ones and fuck yous. The king of Sting. Don't let that last name fool you because he's a bad man. It's DJ Danil Goodman!
DJ Danil, a.k.a. gonna eat 20 hot dogs this weekend. That's the plan. Okay. I was gonna say hot dog hangover, but since we've already broken the fourth wall over recording on Friday and it's not actually Tuesday, well then shoot.
Yeah.
I plan on eating those hot dogs.
You got that little sweat, that dusting of sweat. I guess it's not dusting. Exactly. Above your lip when you're like, oh,
a light
sheen.
Yeah, exactly.
A light sheen.
Gotta eat these hot
misting,
dogs.
A misting of sweat on the brow that only the addict knows when they mm-hmm. are about to score mm-hmm. their big mm-hmm. 20 hot dogs.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
But also, speaking of Mountain Dews, I was at the old Rite Aid yesterday and just happened to be perusing the fridge department and found the lone single bottle of Mountain Dew Baja Blast.
Yeah.
And I mean,
did you see the other blasts that they've added?
No, they only had, I've seen them. I've seen them on the internet because, you know, I stay perusing for new Mountain Dew Baja Blast flavors, but I saw the lone bottle and, you know, I blasted off.
Did you?
You know, right. Of course. And I didn't go to bed till like 2 a.m, but that's how it goes when you drink.
I feel good for like 15 minutes afterwards, and then I crash and can't get out of bed for a couple days.
There you go.
But I have taste tested both new Baja's Blast. I think we're going to.
Indeed.
I think we're going to.
Attorneys General,
yeah,
Baja's Blast.
We're going to Attorneys General Baja Blast. Yeah. I think that's the only right way to do it. Well, Daniel, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a former games industry project manager turned full-time content creator from Northern Ireland. You can find her on iHeartRadio, podcast Boss Level, or you can find her on Twitch flying through the cosmos. Please welcome Psyche!
Hi, hello. I'm so excited to be here. I'm Psyche, a.k.a. I guess I have to have an a.k.a., so... AKA the gayest witch on Twitch, because someone once called me that, but I think they were trying to insult me and didn't realize that I actually took it as kind of a compliment.
Sorry, say it again.
The gayest witch on Twitch. He said, I quote, "You are the biggest, gayest woman I have ever seen, and you kind of look like a witch."
Nice.
And I was like, thank you. That's like three compliments in one. But yeah,
superlatives in there, like the biggest, the gayest,
I mean, like, that's pretty impressive, right?
That is very, I'm impressed.
Take my crown, please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's fine.
How is Northern Ireland? What's the weather like over there?
It's wet. It's really, really wet. I love the fact that I can look at my like little weather thing on my desktop and it has like rain coming, and that's what it says right now. But the other day it was like rain, sunshine, rain on and off. It ended up settling on because it just couldn't decide. But it's true.
It's like, never mind, forget it.
All the time. Like, that's just the way it is.
That's amazing.
Sounds about right. Sounds about right.
And I mean, hopefully it doesn't inhibit your ability to celebrate 4th of July. This weekend.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of that here.
Your favorite holiday.
You know, it's funny you say that, but like, actually, I think we might have some American neighbors, because 4th of July, we moved into this house like 2 years ago. My first 4th of July, like, I never noticed it's coming, obviously, because it's not celebrated here, but we had people setting off fireworks, and I was like, what's that for? And then I looked at the date, and I was like, I think we do actually have some American neighbors. It's also illegal to set off fireworks here, but they do it anyway.
That was my next question.
Yeah, you need to have a license. Nobody does. Apparently, nobody cares either. So it still happens.
There you go.
Yeah. Still okay. Sounds like Los Angeles. In the United States, which is so dry that a single misplaced firework can just set the whole country on fire. But we still got to do it, you know?
Still
got
to do it.
That's the way it is.
Just blow shit up.
Kids in the middle of the street in Los Angeles, California, just blowing things up, setting off car alarms. It's great.
The one time I experimented with big fireworks was when I lived in Missouri. I was picking my friend up at the Kansas City airport, driving back, and I had like turned off the part of my brain that notices these things, because I was living in the middle of Missouri and was just like, yeah, it's Missouri. But my friend was like, hey, we've passed like 40 warehouses that all advertise like having the biggest, cheapest, best fireworks. Should we like do something with that? And so we got a bunch of fireworks, set them off in a park in the middle of the night while very drunk, and it was one of the most fun things I've ever done in my life. So I will our younger listeners, don't just remove this from your brain, but I had always looked down upon the fireworks culture, and then I did it, and I was like, oh, right, because you're blowing things up, and it's awesome.
Exactly.
You get to make your own little Baz Luhrmann film. All right. Well,
I like it.
Psyche,
I like it.
We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about something that you're probably not familiar with, Psyche, but that I probably need to get familiar with, and DJ Daniel as well. Water Wars. They're not like a fun squirt gun themed birthday party, actual wars over water are coming to the suburbs of Arizona and I think the rest of the country will soon follow. Mm. So we're going to talk about that way that it, this is all very patriotic and 4th of July themed. We're going to talk about that way the country's getting worse. We're going to talk about Republicans getting Google's permission to spam everyone, just like ruin your inbox. So that's one way the country's getting worse. And we're also going to talk about some pop culture. We're going to get to like maybe half of that. I don't know.
We'll see.
It's going to be a silly episode.
We can skip to the pop culture part. We'll find out.
Yeah. We might just skip directly to the pop culture thing. I want to talk about RRR, Top Gun Maverick, two most notable movies I've seen so far this year. RRR, probably my favorite movie I've seen so far this year. Top Gun Maverick, America's favorite movie that they've seen so far this year. So I just want to talk about those. All of that, plenty more. But first, Psyche, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, do you want to know the most recent or do you want to know the most telling about me as a person? They're both kind of telling about me as a person. I'll probably tell you both.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Let's do it. So my most recent that I think is kind of interesting. I googled what is the metaverse because I feel like nice. I know what the metaverse is, but then I kind of felt like it almost feels like it's just a synonym for cyberspace, and I thought that can't be all there is to it. There's got to be more to it. And then I googled and I did a lot of extensive research, and really it comes down to that kind of is all there is to it, and I was a bit disappointed. And I'm like, do I still kind of just not get it, or like what's going on there?
Yeah,
I think you're 100% right about that. That's all it is. We've had these spaces for decades.
Yeah, like, and
but
it's like
no,
super
it's like a space
corporate.
Where you can exist with an avatar and like be yourself, but like with a costume on.
It's like Second Life.
Do that VR chat.
It's
like Second Life. Exactly.
Did no one play Second Life? Where like I literally remember. I'm so sorry. This is kind of inappropriate, but I remember the most like formative memory I have of Second Life was this random person who clearly had too much time and too much money came up to me and gave me a helicopter and a gun. And the helicopter was super cool. The gun fired, let's just say, weird representations of genitalia out of it. So,
okay.
Which was a very Second Life thing to happen, right? So,
right.
Extremely so.
Yeah,
yes,
much
Barry.
Less
that
acceptable tracks. In First Life. I have found handing people helicopters acceptable. And guns that fire dicks.
Yeah, that's pretty much literally, I of course, being, I was quite innocent, I'd spent some time on the internet, but like not a ton of time on the internet. The first thing I did with the gun was I fired it, and it just started firing out this stream of dicks. And I was just
there you go.
I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I feel like I googled it. The reason I actually googled it was because I'd had multiple companies had approached me and had clearly they've learned that the metaverse has a bit of a bad reputation. And they were approaching me about these interesting opportunities, and they were not being very specific about what it was. And then halfway through the email chain, they would kind of produce the, by the way, it's on the metaverse. And I'd be like, oh no. Okay, I'm going to Google. Because like, what's going on here?
Right.
So that was that.
I feel like there's always bizarre. when you read companies like PR like and like all the stuff they're talking about, like the official strategy and like what we're doing and what our company's footprint is this coming year in the media landscape, they're excited about the metaverse. I haven't met a single person who's like, actually it's pretty cool, it's like better than you might think. Like not a single one.
No.
I've met people who will ride for literally anything, who are like, actually Dave Matthews Band's like secretly one of the best bands, but they will not ride for I can't find the person who rides for the metaverse. Zeitgang, if you are out there, if somebody is like, you know, like people were too hard on the metaverse, let us know. But I do think it just completely and unequivocally sucks, and it's just Mark Zuckerberg is frozen at the peak of his success and fame and is like, wait a second. Like he's still interested and impressed by things that would have been more impressive to people like in the year 2008.
Yeah, and truly, I'm really open-minded. Like if someone can come up with a really great use case for it or like some reason I should care, I am so there. I'm totally fine with that. I will completely revise my opinion, but no one has been able to do that so far. So I'm just sitting here going,
right. Yeah. And I feel like they wouldn't even let somebody hand you a helicopter and a gun that fires dicks. Like, granted, it sounds like you were a child at the time and it was like a grown up who did that.
I was a middle teenager. So yeah, still a child.
So maybe they shouldn't be allowed to.
They probably should be.
No, I don't think so.
So I'm not going to complain about that. Maybe I should shut up about that.
Should I tell you my second one as well?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, yes.
So I do a lot of writing outside of like streaming and gaming and stuff. And one of the probably best descriptions of me as a human being and probably why I'm definitely on a list somewhere. I frequently Google weird stuff because I'm writing something. And one thing I Googled once and my partner yelled at me. He was like, you can't just search for things like that. Was how many stab wounds does it take to kill a person?
Yeah.
And like, obviously, I don't want to know for me, but like, I mean, is it a case of it like, it doesn't matter if you get like 53 in the foot, is that going to kill you? Or does it have to be in somewhere vital? You know, I need to know these things for writing purposes. It's not for
it
any
does
other
sound
reason.
Like a very video game logic to the human body. Like, it's like, okay, so 53 strikes, doesn't matter where I hit them.
I may play too many video games. Right.
Min-maxing our stabs.
Yeah,
like
right? Yeah. You get it.
I I wish we could like cut to the last person who Googled that and they're just like standing there with a bloody knife in their hand just being like
and they're not looking at me and going
wait, where? So I'm at 23 right now. What are we looking
how many
at?
More do I need?
mid close stabbing tab, Google. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Alright, what is something you think is overrated?
Alright. Look, we're coming to, well, we're already at the end of Pride Month. So speaking as a bisexual person, rainbow capitalism.
Mm.
Pride Month just ended and literally you could see from the 30th of June into the 1st of July, literally in real time, watching corporations changing their like profile pictures back to their like standard picture instead of it being like their pride picture or whatever.
Right.
And
right.
That just... I don't know. It feels kind of like you're expected as a queer person to just give them a high five or like a gold star or something and let them just off with not caring about queer people the rest of the year. And that's nonsense. Super overrated. Yeah. Really annoys me.
Yeah.
Do they have like an interstitial in between where they're like, enough of that shit and go
I
back
feel
to
like, yes.
That's the message.
And it's so weird because I actually, okay, not to give corporations too much credit because like, I hate doing that. But at the same time, I did see a really good example where Intel, for anyone who doesn't know, tech company known very well for their processors. Mm. And also, oh, there was another company, I've forgotten who it was, but Intel made a tweet where they basically said, we don't, like at the beginning of Pride Month, we don't need to change our profile picture because we've had a Pride profile picture all year round. We don't see the point in changing it just for June, which I thought was quite nice. And like Xbox has their Pride controllers and they were actually like super vocally arguing with people in their comments on Twitter about like people who are saying, nobody wants to see this. And they were like, nobody wants your opinion in it. You still felt the need to express it. So like, I like that they're doing that. Again, don't want to give corporations too much credit because obviously it's still for money. But I still think that's pretty cool. And it's nice seeing things like that. But you see the difference where you just watch them ticking off. Like everyone's changing back to normal. It's just wild.
Yeah. Right.
I think there's definitely kinds of engagement. Like you're saying, there's engagement that definitely positively supports the message. Yeah. Because there's, you know, the pure rainbow capitalism is just like buy our shirt because we put a rainbow on it.
Yes.
But then there's the let's use this as an opportunity to spread good information, to promote, you know, creators and promote, you know, people who are company sponsors that deserve an extra light. There are ways to go about it that despite it being in the umbrella of rainbow capitalism, at least, you know, participates in the support of the history of the month and like why it is happening and why it is important versus just, you know, kind of what you're saying. So that Intel's doing that, Xbox is doing that.
Yeah.
I also saw Bungie doing something similar to the creators of Destiny.
True.
Yeah, Bungie, like, just really going in on being, like, Destiny and Bungie games are for everybody. People are like, we don't need this. And they're like, we don't need you is kind of the, that's the
you're
way to do
them
it.
Them being a lot more active and also having some of these companies that actually go out of their way outside of June to actively promote people that are LGBTQIA+, for example, or, like, outside Black History Month, promoting Black content creators and people that they work with. And not making it be about, like, this person is a minority. It's more, this person does cool shit and we don't get to see it enough. And that's really, really cool. So there are companies doing well. And then there are companies that are just not making any effort whatsoever. They've got like a scheduled thing to change their profile picture and a scheduled thing to turn it back off again.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to probably tell you too much about myself, but I think going to lunch or dinner solo, I think is super underrated. I need alone time to recharge.
Wow.
And I think there's this really weird stigma about like not going places on your own.
Hmm.
And when I worked in the games industry, I used to be like, my brain was constantly active. And having even just like a 45 minute break where I could go and treat myself to something nice to eat and just spend time with myself was really, really powerful. And I think that goes for things like going to the movies by yourself. Everyone looks at you funny, but who cares?
By myself.
I do too. And like, I think it's great. And I think, you know what? If I want to go see a movie and my partner doesn't want to go and whatever, like I'll go by myself. I think it's great.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I totally
support
that. Mine,
definitely.
I've like recently realized like I need to start scheduling because I'm the same. I don't know. Is there like official psychological literature on the like introverts need to be alone to recharge? Because it definitely feels true for me.
But it feels that way. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything actually official or if like, because I know a lot of the resources that are related to like introvert versus extrovert are kind of problematic.
Right.
But,
yeah. They're all like from some company that created it to be like better capital drone.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have realized that like I need to make plans. Like I had a thing where we like went with another family on like a road trip for a weekend and I was like never alone for the whole weekend. Mm. And then I came back and like the whole week I was just like dead and had no energy. And so now I'm like realizing like I need to like actually not just be like notice it, but to actually like plan around it and like have like, you know, set some alone time aside, even if it's just like an afternoon or whatever.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Full support on that one. And also on a very like not brain helpful, but just kind of scheduling helpful, way easier to get into restaurants. Let me just say.
That's true.
If you want to go to a busy place, go by yourself.
Yeah.
Grab a single seat. It's incredible. You want to sit at the bar at a sushi place? Easy. Ramen spot, get that single spot.
Yeah.
It's great.
Although the bar at the sushi spot, I'm thinking they're gonna want to talk to me.
Oh, that's true.
I don't
know. I don't want that.
Yeah. I'm like, I want to. Do you have anything like back by the bathroom facing the wall?
Just, in the shadows somewhere.
Exactly.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some serious stuff and then get to some pop culture stuff.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back. And yeah, so there's a New Yorker article. I have to talk about it every time I read a New Yorker article. It gives me a sense of pride that is built into me from when I was much younger. And I've noticed that I just do this every time. I'm like, oh, well, read that New Yorker article. This better be a story on the Daily Zeitgeist. But anyways, it was a compelling article that, you know, we've talked about the crumbling water supply in the United States, how much it comes from the Colorado River in the southwestern United States. And there was an article, like I have, you know, tried to imagine what that's going to look like in my own, you know, world and neighborhood. And this article does a really good job of kind of telling us. It's a, you know, neighborhood in Scottsdale, Arizona, where people, like, they basically, like, can't get water there the normal way. So people either have water delivered on a truck monthly, if they can afford it. Some have spent tens of thousands of dollars drilling wells. And the article actually opens with this person talking about how their neighbor just got done putting a 960-foot dry hole in, like, which means they drilled 960 feet into the ground and there was just like no water down there.
Wow.
But yeah, and then, you know, so then some people like organized a like water consortium, and then everybody, like, people started like criticizing them. It's mostly looks like, you know, sniping on Facebook and stuff like that. But the details that jumped out to me are just, first of all, it's not changing. Like, after all the discussions that this writer had with like this planned community of people, and like how they already have way too many people in this area, like they were driving down the community's mostly unpaved roads and like saw dozens of new houses under construction. Like, people are just, you know, we're going to keep driving in the same direction until the car we're in is engulfed in flames at the bottom of the ravine we just drove off of. Like, that's just the American way. There will be fireworks in the trunk, so it'll look cool as hell when it happens. But
explosive and sick.
And then there's just like a lot of faith in the old way of doing things, and like that, well, the old bones of the system is going to work out for us. There's still people like putting in like offers on all these houses that are being built, and they're like, well, they're not going to let a community in like one of the most wealthy towns in Arizona like go without water. And it's like, well, there's
surely not
going to be water for you guys. What the fuck are you talking about? It also just feels like a good metaphor for like a couple of the, like, we're facing a similar thing in a couple of important places, like a broken system that is only getting more broken, but we're like too afraid to abandon. like the Democratic Party. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm like just digging deeper and deeper into the like completely dry sand, searching for the energy that used to be there and coming up dry. It just felt like this is a story about right now in a community in Arizona, but it's a story about kind of everything in America right now.
This reminds me so deeply of like the idea of procrastination and that, like, you know, I think we convince ourselves sometimes that like getting the task started is harder than the actual task itself.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the longer we wait on stuff like this, mm-hmm. the bar for that task just gets higher and the task itself does get harder.
Yeah.
And it's a just needing to get started kind of thing that seems so difficult for, like you said, the Democratic Party to really get going. I mean, like any politics in this country, but like it's just these kinds of things, like you said, it's not going to change. The old way is not going to come back. And I think the sooner that people start to understand and accept that, we could get over that initial procrastination hurdle and actually maybe start to make progress. Because if we just keep going this way, like you said, fireworks, ravine, explosion.
That's right. Fireworks, ravine, explosion.
Yeah.
How does it look from Northern Ireland, Psyche?
So it's weird. I feel like I can see parallels in some ways. Now, granted, not with something like water. As an example, whenever this is so weird, but the only time I've ever experienced like trouble having actual water was in 2010. We had a really, really bad snowstorm. And like Ireland doesn't tend to get like particularly extreme weather, but we had really like a blizzard. My roof like was leaking, everything.
Wow.
We had people running their water 24/7 to try and stop the pipes from freezing, which obviously is a problem. And in Ireland, a place that rains literally all the time, we started to run out of water and our water supplies were really like dwindling super, super fast. So we had water rationing and we had trucks coming and delivering water. We had, I lived in a village at the time, and a truck came and delivered water and people could go down and collect water at that, like, because it was just in the center of the village. Mm. And I still remember my friend at the time who lived like in the countryside having to get water from like a stream. And I was just like, what is happening? Like this country, it rains all the time and then suddenly there's a snowstorm and now we have no water. What is going on? Because obviously that's not how it works. And infrastructure is actually like not built for X, then it can't provide what it's supposed to provide anymore.
Right.
So from my perspective, I see this and I do think it's wild, but you talk about how the old ways aren't working anymore and that you kind of need to like get past that before you can start moving forward. And that's definitely something that like I can see a kind of mirror image of that in Northern Ireland in our politics, because we have like I'm not going to get into it in depth, but we have a very interesting, there's many, many parties in Northern Ireland, but there are two in particular who just cannot work together because they have a power share government. They can't work together, so they just don't get anything done, which means that there's tons of things happening, like bits of things are falling apart. And like at the moment, there's some supplies we cannot get because of various like customs checks and stuff, and they just can't get together to agree on something so that we can move forward and get it done.
The thing I feel like I've seen and I've read about in situations like the snowstorm you're mentioning is that when people are put into those crisis situations, like they surprise themselves and like the community around them surprises them with like how well people come together and just like fill the hole and do the thing that needs to get done so that people have water. And that's something that like I guess I didn't have kind of associated with this story in my mind, but I do think like that is once everybody's willing to just be like, all right, well, that's dead, like now it's on us, like what do we do now, I think we're going to surprise ourselves with like the creativity that we're able to come up with. But
I do think people do surprise you in a crisis situation for sure.
So I don't think it's as hopeless as sometimes it feels like. It just eventually are going to come to the point where it's like, well, that is no longer there, right? Like that water infrastructure or Democratic Party no longer works, no longer can work. What do we do now? Well, let's talk about another thing that American capitalism has ruined, and that is email. Because so it's basically like, I don't know. I want to ask the question, like, what can't capitalism ruin? Is there anything that is not going to be ruined by capitalism?
Nothing sacred.
Nothing.
Yeah, truly.
Like, so basically, the latest development is that, like, Google was identifying political ads and sending them to spam filters. And a Republican by the name of Dr. Ronnie Johnson, who you might remember, I think that's his name, or Ronnie Jackson.
Ah.
You might remember as the guy who gave everybody drugs in the White House, like was the drug dealer mm-hmm. for like Got I it. Think both the Obama White House and
oh my God.
And the Trump White House and
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah, he was Dr. Feelgood. That was his nickname. And then I think he got drunk and wrecked a government vehicle at a Secret Service going away party.
What a legacy.
So sick.
So like, but like Trump was like, we want him to head the VA, I think. And everyone was like, wait, what? What do you mean? That guy's like basically your drug dealer. Why would he head the VA? He doesn't have any sort of like mass administrative experience. And then he got drunk. I think like just... part of him was like, oh man, I'm in way over my head. I better do what old Dr. Ronnie Jax does when he's in over his head and get drunk and wreck a government vehicle. And so that was the end of all that. So he was relegated to taking a job as a U.S. congressman and got elected in 2020, made headlines for claiming that the Omicron variant was a conspiracy concocted by the Democrats. And he was also noticing that his emails that he kept sending out to the people he was trying to get to give him money were getting sent to spam. And so he went on a rant about how Google's Gmail was actively suppressing Republican emails and sending them to the spam folder, which he claimed was a form of election interference. And like a new North Carolina State University study actually did find Republican emails were more likely to go to spam folders in Gmail than other services like Outlook. But it's less a conspiracy and more that Republicans send a lot of bad spam, like which yes, we've known. Facts. Like just Trump's campaign has sent out emails like using misleading subject lines that read as a message from friends or family and like subject lines that appear to be an email bounce back notification, like just all the like phishing tactics, just go hard as you can to get as much money from these people as you can. But the Democrats do this shit too. Like there was a,
I was just going to say,
yeah, the Democrats just sent out a final notice. May Democrat membership pending. May Democratic membership pending? Like,
oh, I'm sorry. I didn't remember signing up in the first place.
You have 17 missed messages to renew your Democratic membership, bro. This is your final notice to renew your membership before tonight's critical end of month deadline. That is from the Democratic Party.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it sucks. But anyways, they sued Google to be like, you're doing bad stuff. And Google was like, all right, I don't know, whatever, fine. So basically now they can like apply for, it's a bill that seeks to make it illegal for email service providers to automatically put campaign messages into the spam folder, pilot program for political parties to bypass spam detection systems. So yeah, it's just like because they are powerful, the Republican Party is able to reach out to Google and get them to let them like ruin your inbox.
Nice. You know, on this really feels like kind of a weighing of priorities thing for Google here, because I know we've all seen those like Senate hearings or whatever where they're basically grilling, is it Sundar Pichai, who's the CEO of Google, basically grilling him on, so does my phone know where I am, right? If I go sit on the other side, is it gonna know that I'm sitting with our friends on the left over here? And he's like, you have to turn on location services, like answer the question. And it feels like this whole like spam thing, I don't think they necessarily, or Google necessarily, sees it as a problem. like what you're saying. They're just like, yeah, fine, whatever. Just send your damn emails. It doesn't matter. Because, you know, it all just mixes in with every other email that people are getting. Like every day I feel like I'm unsubscribing to lists I didn't even know that I was on. Yep. And then 3 days later, I'm getting another email from that same thing. And it's like, well, you needed to allow 10 days for the unsubscription to go through. So we'll keep sending you emails for the next 10 days. And it's like, it just keeps piling on to the point where it's like, I have like two or three emails that I need to check per day, basically. I mean, like there's more. This is personal email. Work emails are different. But there's like three actual personal emails that I need to check a day maximum out of the maybe 30 or 40 that I get.
Right.
And it does not feel like a problem to, I mean, to our email providers.
Yeah, they don't give like a fuck about them because we are not their constituent. Corporations are their constituent. They're there to keep things moving smoothly, and yeah, it's just bad. I feel like it's just interesting to think about like all the technologies that capitalism has ruined. Like email was useful and a great idea for a few years, and then it got flooded with spam, and like it's just like an arms race between like marketers and the technology companies to like, you know, keep it from making their product unusable. But then the big technology companies eventually get worn down, or they get, you know, so successful that they have friends in high places. You know, I used to work for a website that like wrote articles, list articles that were full of content and were not like, did not have ads that were like following you around and tracking which direction your eyeball was looking. And now like it's to the point that like when I read articles, not on just like random websites, but on like news articles, it's like they have the most deceptive ads that are like there to trick you into clicking on them at all costs.
Yep.
Like even at the cost of continuing to read the article you were there to read. Like it's just,
it's wild.
It's all broken. And it's, yeah, it's all, it just is the evolution of all technologies, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, I don't know. I mentioned this on my stream the other day because I feel, maybe I'm just really cynical, but I feel like social media as a whole has changed so very, very much from like when it first started. I feel like I don't really understand. And I don't think it's just because I'm getting older, because I feel like that's the immediate like jump to is that, oh yeah, as you get older, social media makes less sense. But like I've been on social media since its inception, and I just feel like I don't understand Instagram anymore. I feel like I don't know what it wants from me. I don't know what to put. I'm constantly plagued with ads, and it's half the time it's stuff that's like creepily relevant to me. And then the other half, it's like, I don't even know why you think I would want to see this. Yeah. So I don't really feel like I understand how to engage with it. It's not the same as it was before, if that makes sense.
That's what the best and brightest minds of the past 20 years have been working on. Is making Twitter and, well, I feel like Twitter like is the thing that has saved it is that they suck at marketing. And like so
the ads
aren't like ever relevant, and so they're easy to skip. But never. Like Instagram, you know, the best and brightest minds, instead of like building our infrastructure, rebuilding or fixing U.S. infrastructure or
we'll talk
like,
about that
infrastructure around the country, they go into marketing, work for these massive, you know, technology companies and find ways to market. Like that is the big evolution of the past 20 years is like marketing has gotten way better for brands, not for humans.
Yes.
It has taken away our free will, that minor pesky thing.
Good old free will. I also feel like we're kind of in an arms race of efficiency in that like email used to be good because it was quick and it was like, I can send you a letter over the internet. But nowadays it's like you're competing with Slack, with Discord, with text messages about like getting messages to people. And so there's this like need to make your email so urgent. It's like you're saying, it's like you have to sign up now, urgent, Mr. blah, 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 blah. So it's like email is quickly losing relevance at all. Mm-hmm. And it's like these kinds of, I mean, I guess it's interesting to see. I mean, I will say you know, I'm typing stop into my phone so often these days from whatever political text messaging that I'm getting, being like, hey, this is Nancy Pelosi and we really need to talk. I'm just like, stop.
Yeah.
But it's like as they look for new venues to kind of like grab your attention in this kind of like market of instantaneous interaction, it's like email's really phasing out. And so I think the spam thing is almost kind of in that last desperate attempt to hold on to this kind of archaic technology.
Yeah. You know? And make, yeah, just like the last, I think that's probably also what's happening is Google is like, well, nobody fucking uses Gmail anymore. Sure.
Exactly. Fine. Whatever.
we're working on a new technology where, you know, in 2 years, we'll be recording this podcast over Zoom and Nancy Pelosi will join and start asking us to, she'll join the chat. And start,
exactly.
Yeah.
We see, we have a really, really great thing in Northern Ireland. I'm not even... I realize again, I sound so cynical, but in Northern Ireland, we're so behind, like businesses are behind, politics is behind. We don't use email here. Like we use email for like online communication, but I mean like our political parties don't use email. They don't use social media. They don't have a website really? Half the time. They're really behind. It's so weird. Like it's something as simple as like having a business that you want, like my hairdresser or my tattoo artist, I want to book something and they take all of their bookings through Facebook. And I'm like, I don't have a Facebook anymore. I got rid of it a long time ago. Like, can I call you or email you or something? Do you have a website with a contact? Like, no businesses here have that. And like political parties, I still get just leaflets through my mailbox. I don't get a digital version of it.
Wow.
I still get leaflets. I just think they don't know email exists.
That
sounds great. I'm not trying to be super, super cynical. I swear. I know that that's like, it goes against the fact that I'm always arguing with people that, yes, in fact, in Northern Ireland, we do have the internet and electricity and cars because some people seem to think we don't. But like, at the same time, businesses and like, as far as the government is concerned, it's really like stuck in the past. I don't know why. It's bizarre.
Yeah. Sounds like you might be leapfrogging certain technologies. Like maybe we don't have email, but then it's like, but we have the next thing after TikTok already.
We had cell phones that we call them mobiles, but like we had SMS messaging before the US did. Like whenever, which is really weird because you guys had like pagers, right?
We had pagers.
We didn't have those.
Right. We've had some stuff.
Yeah. So we didn't have pagers or anything like that, but we had SMS messaging like really, really super early on.
Interesting.
And that's still cool. Remember when I met like my online friends in the US and I'd be like, because I used LiveJournal or whatever, and I'd be talking to them and they didn't have SMS messaging or like they knew of it because it was something that existed, but like it was quite expensive. So they just didn't have it. They used their pager instead or whatever. And I always thought, why is it that like Northern Ireland was ahead of something technologically speaking, yet we still can't use email? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
So we're definitely doing the leapfrog effect.
Yes, the leapfrog, exactly.
I'm not sure it's a good thing, but...
Well...
Hey, we'll see what the next technology is that pops up. You could be like, actually, no, I'm kind of glad that we skipped email for this.
Yeah.
Right.
Whatever that may be.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The make a splash all summer kind of fun. The I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back. And we had the option between, you know, a third straight story about just the way that America is devolving and falling apart, or we could just move over to the fact that it's the midpoint of the year, which means that we get a bunch of year in culture in review lists coming out. Best movies of the year so far. So that's, we're going to do a little year in culture in review in review. Year so far in culture in review in review.
I love how we've added that to the list of like, okay, it's not just the best films of 2022. It's the best films of the first 6 months of 2022.
I love it. I love it.
We got to have it. Got to have it. I'm with it. Hey, I support it. I added a whole section about video games to this, so I'm good.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it. So the main thing, like I just feel woefully behind on TV. I am more of a movie bitch. I just think it's more efficient. You get the whole thing in a single go.
There you go.
So, and I've been really enjoying a couple movies. I'll talk about RRR maybe later if we have time.
Nothing but good things.
So the TV show, the streaming shows list, like the only thing I've really watched so far is Severance, which have y'all watched that?
Yes, I haven't. Indeed. I've heard really, really good things about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
So enjoyable.
I watched like The Staircase. It had a strong start. I had seen the documentary. I fell off for, you know, no good reason after like three or four episodes. I was basically in it for the part where Colin Firth eats Toni Collette's ass. And once that happened, I was like, all right. I think I get it.
Is Staircase the one about the opioid epidemic, or am I remembering wrong?
No. This is, so there's a great documentary called The Staircase, and it is this French filmmaker goes and covers the story of this local politician, novelist, who is accused of murdering his wife. His wife's death is just very, very strange and confounding. She is found at the bottom of a staircase. Blood is all over the place, but her skull is not fractured the way it would be if somebody like beat someone to death. And but he's there, you know, he says he comes in, finds her after just like sitting in the backyard for a little while. It's very suspicious. He is one of the strangest humans ever captured on film. The husband, weird. Just like all sorts of weird tics. I was like, why would you ever make a dramatized version of this? And then they did it, and Colin Firth is incredible at capturing him and like makes it like slightly more accessible than the documentary, because he is so like that you could just like watching a minute of this person is like, well, I don't know how I feel about human existence now, because he's so like strange and like hard to wrap your mind around. But anyways, all of that to say, I just learned that so the movie, the documentary, the thing that is most notable is that you cannot tell if he did it or not. Like you can have your suspicions, which I have. I still change back and forth like years after seeing it. But I always liked this one theory, which was that an owl did it.
Oh, my God.
Which
I've heard of that. You know, it's really weird. I've never seen the docuseries, but I've heard of that. That's
so it sounds so dumb that like I feel like that is the thing that kept people from letting that reality in, is that like basically she has all these cuts on the back of her head that like don't really make sense. And also an owl feather in her like blood matted hair, but like they don't really even like explore it in the trial. They like devote maybe 15-20 minutes to it in the documentary. I assumed that this like very serious dramatic thing, HBO series with A-list actors, was just going to breeze right past it. But apparently after I stopped watching, they go in heavy on the owl theory.
Really?
And like show you a recreation of the crime if the owl had did it.
And that's so cool.
I'm so excited. So now that is something that I'm very excited about. All of which to say, The Staircase, watch the docuseries and then watch the HBO show if you feel like it.
I'm clearly going in on that because that sounds like it's something that's right up my alley. I do find true crime really interesting, but the oil theories got me sold.
Wow. That's really fascinating. Wild.
But yeah, there's a bunch of, I mean, We Own the City has been on my list for a long time that I just like need to, but like Prehistoric Planet, which is like Planet Earth, but with dinosaurs, which like that's also something I can watch with my kids.
And David Attenborough.
And David Attenborough.
Love David Attenborough.
All I need in my life is a little David Attenborough. And then there's a movie called Neptune Frost. I feel like I've done a decent job of like seeing all the movies I wanted to see. There's this new movie called Neptune Frost that looks really cool. It might be shown at your local art house theater. Go watch the trailer. And if you're anything like me, you will want to see it. But yeah, I think my favorite movie of the year is RRR, but Worst Person in the World, also very good.
Psyche, have you heard of RRR?
So I hadn't, and then I looked it up earlier today, and do you know what's really stupid? There was like a picture from the movie, and I became completely convinced that the name was not RRR. It was like the picture had like an animal in it, and they were looking at each other, and I was like, oh, maybe I'm misinterpreting what it's called. And then I was like, no, you're being stupid. No, I get what it is. But it looks like it's really, really good. It's something that I had not heard of like at all. It completely passed me by.
Same and same, but I have heard nothing but incredible things. People saying like rejoicing in the theater. I've seen a Twitter video of like people lighting off fireworks at the conclusion of the movie. Like there was like, a whole team of people that brought sparklers into a movie.
Yeah,
and we're just like, it was like someone was bringing a bottle into the club, and you had like all the people following on the room with sparklers. But it was the end of a movie in an actual movie theater.
That's
it was
really
like,
cool.
What? So it really makes me want to see it. But I'm not gonna lie, I also hear it's 3 hours long.
It is 3 hours long. I watched it in two chunks. I watched it on my laptop.
Oh.
And the two things that should be wildly diminishing to the effect of a film. And my immediate response was just like exuberance, joy, energy. And I also had this feeling like, wait, like everybody who works in movies needs to watch this. And then like, I don't know, maybe all of Hollywood should just take a year off. Like, and just be like, just watch this a couple times more and just like be like, oh, Wow. It's just like such a leap forward in what an action movie can be, which is like one of my favorite genres of movies.
Same.
Okay.
And it's also a musical and a historical period piece. It's like Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet, Inglourious Basterds, and Braveheart were put in a blender, and like, and also like some Crouching Tiger, because the action like does new things with action that like you haven't seen, that I'm sure every action movie is going to try and mimic. But it was like, yeah, they put all those movies in a blender and came out with something that's like much better than any of them. And I like those movies. I also I think it's way better than Top Gun Maverick, and I really liked Top Gun Maverick too.
I really liked Maverick, actually. I was surprised. I liked the original Top Gun, but like my partner was super into the original Top Gun because like he's a real plane nerd. Like he loves jets. And he's always been like a jet nerd. So we went to this and he was like, I don't know if I want to go see this because like what if they do the Tomcat dirty? I'm not going to be okay with it. And I was like, oh my God, you can't talk like that about a plane. So we went to the
I thought that's what he called it. Tom Cruise was the Tomcat.
What are they?
Maybe we do. But we went, and we were like, we have to just sit down and see it. And I loved it. I was really surprised that I liked it so much. It was really, really good. And it, like, I think a lot of people, some people had said that it was kind of like cringe or whatever. And I was like, did you see the original Top Gun? It's like, it was pretty cringe, but like, it was good. So yeah, no, I thought Maverick was great.
Yeah. It could have been gayer. Like it, like the, like
could have been
gayer. leaving the original, like that was one of the more notable undertones / overtones.
I was going to say
tones of the first Top Gun. And they kind of took it out of this Top
That's
Gun.
That's true.
They needed more sweaty bodies playing volleyball.
Yes. But all right, I cede the floor at this point.
Uh-oh.
Because I have some takes on games.
I bet you do.
But I think these people are tired of hearing me talk gaming.
Well,
from my Twitch stream.
Oh, geez. Well, it's as awesome of the year as it has been for television and film already, it has also been a banger year for video games, and for a couple reasons. One of which is that, you know, of course, during the pandemic, there was a lot of pushing back of video games that were supposed to come out in 20 and 2021. And we are kind of hitting a excess of games that are like, okay, finally ready for release. But also titles from companies that are very storied, like From Software, who's famous for, you know, the Souls games, Soulsborne games, from Guerrilla, who made the first Horizon Zero Dawn, and from Game Freak, the people behind Pokemon, like big companies finally releasing the next chapter of whatever they were working on coming out in 2022 and feeding people so many great games, some of which I am completely incapable of completing, as contrary to Psyche, who is a master and who is destroying all of them. But just awesome, awesome games that are coming out. And so, you know, name off the bat, a couple that came out this year: Elden Ring, Horizon Forbidden West, Pokemon Legends Arceus, and even smaller titles, smaller-ish titles like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which is just a nostalgia overload, this awesome new game Neon White, which is like a first-person shooter speedrunning game, and Tunic, which is this really cute kind of like Zelda-style game, but with an awesome fox character, and it has kind of like tilt-shift animation style. But like, Psyche, what are you feeling about games this year so far?
I am really, really thrilled because I have been a person who has never in my life been able to complete a Soulsborne game, so like Dark Souls or Sekiro or Bloodborne. I've never finished one. I get frustrated really easily. I'm not like a rage gamer, but at the same time, like I played Dark Souls 3 and I got to a point where I just got super, super frustrated and couldn't finish it. Elden Ring, I finished. And it took me 100 and something hours. And I did it all on stream. And I really loved it, and I was actually really genuinely surprised that I was so into it. I expected myself to play it for a while and then just get like kind of burned out on it, but it's definitely, at least at the moment, my game of the year. I think they did a really, really great job with it. I'm
and
feeling
can you describe
I feel like
the game to people who haven't played it like us.
To Jack.
I beat it too, but I don't want enough talk out
of course
me. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Only took me 70 hours.
I think a hardcore game where you have to go, it's very punishing. You have to fight your way through bosses that get increasingly difficult, but there's like a really great underlying story. It's open world, so you have a lot of places to explore. And it was really, really beautiful. And like, there's a story, something with Soulsborne games that isn't like, the lore is really fun and interesting, but they tend to hide it in like item descriptions or right. like a weird little hidden location that you find. And then you find out the lore about a character or whatever. And that's what Elden Ring does. And I really, really liked it. I think they did a really great job of not kind of like shoehorning you into like a very linear path, which is great for some people and not so great for others. It just happened to be great for me because it meant I could do whatever the heck I wanted, which I really liked.
Right.
But I think Definitely. We've got so much to do this year, and we've got lots to look forward to as well, which is really cool.
Very much lots to look forward to. Another note on Elden Ring that I think is worth mentioning is that was the game that was touted as a collab with George R.R. Martin, who was just coming off the wild, relative, huge roller coaster of success that was Game of Thrones. But,
I've never heard of.
Yeah, no, Game no one's heard Thrones. Of that. But okay. but the success, I think there's definitely, you know, an advancement in the storytelling in From Software games with Elden Ring, partially helped by George R.R. Martin. So I think that's just worth mentioning in terms of accounting for the awesome success of that game, even though I literally can't get past the first 10 hours of that game. And I'm just putting it down because I'm getting upset. But another piece of games industry success that I want to highlight is the proliferation of subscription services like Xbox Game Pass. I think that, you know, you could look at another subscription service and be like, ugh, I don't want to pay for another Hulu, Netflix, whatever. Yeah. But I think the value that you get out of something like Xbox Game Pass when games are $60 to $70 flat and in certain parts of the world, even more expensive than that, like paying $10 a month to have access to AAA games and also indie titles gives you the kind of like, you know what, I can try this game for a little bit if I wasn't planning on playing it because it's included in this thing that I pay for as a monthly. And for indie games that like you may have never even considered or heard of, like just as an example, that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that I was just talking about, it's like $25 on Steam. And I think, you know, I've beat the campaign, which is like 16 levels, took me like 3 hours.
Is
3 hours, 4 hours.
Where there's an indie game that is a like massive franchise that is like, how'd they pull that off?
So, you know, what happens is like smaller companies, let me pull up
like
exactly
my favorite indie film of the past 4 years is Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that little indie company.
Yeah. Exactly. So the developer is this company called Tribute Games, which is this company out of Montreal. And they make these kinds of like, you know, basically like 16-bit arcadey looking games. But they wanted to recreate the very traditional Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles like arcade game. Like there's that, you know, it's a classic cabinet game right next to the Simpsons game where you have your four sticks, you have your kick, you have your jump, you have your I think it was kick and jump, where your your punch and your jump were your two abilities that you had overall. And people would just dump quarters into those games over and over and over, and they had such appeal that like Tribute decided to grab onto that nostalgia and take the IP and bring it back in this awesome package that's like super consumable, super fun to play. You can play it with six people at a time, which kind of gets a little crazy on the screen. But my main point is that it's $25 on Steam, and I think there's a lot of people who look at what would be a 3 hour investment of time and be like, I don't really think that's worth my $25.
Yeah,
but when it comes to something
for
like
some people, probably for something exactly for me,
there you go. It's such a god gamer over here. But like when you have Xbox Game Pass or a service like that, also not sponsored content, just throwing it out there, that you know you are more open to trying these kinds of things out. And you know, after the Xbox and Bethesda game presentation, when so many of those games were like day one on Game Pass. You look at that, and for those who are unaware, Microsoft owns Xbox. They recently acquired Bethesda, which is a game company or a game developer, and they did a presentation called this thing called Summer Games Fest 2022, where they showed the next year or 2 years of video games that are coming out. And basically, after every trailer, it said day one on Game Pass. Pretty That's much like, wild, I would say 80 to 90% of the games, day one on Game Pass, which means that if you are a subscriber to Game Pass, you have everything that you want to play for the next year is just at your fingertips the second it comes out. You don't have to pay anything extra. It's just like, play this awesome game. Go for it.
Didn't they even confirm that like Starfield is going to be, I think they said day one Game Pass? Yes, and Starfield, for anyone who doesn't know, Starfield is like, for me, as a person who plays space games a lot, I saw, and also is obsessed with Skyrim, I saw this as like the Skyrim in space kind of idea and went, oh, this is the perfect game for me. It has everything I need. Like you can fly your spaceship. You can build your own spaceship. You can build bases on planets. You can fly around in space. You have an RPG as well. I thought this was amazing. And then they were like, day one game pass. What, for like $10 a month? That's wild. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's an amazing service. And I think, you know, again, I think there's definitely ups and downs to the subscription model of video games for sure. And that some smaller companies might not be seeing that the revenue that they would like.
Yeah.
But while the subscription service itself gets more people to play their games, it's definitely like a give and take for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But it allows people that access. And I think access is the thing that gets people to contribute more to the, to the games in general. And just like how many are coming out, it, you know, gamers are eating, as they say. Gamers are definitely eating right now.
Yeah, they are.
Psyche, do you use Xbox Game Pass?
I do. Well, I'm subscribed. I wouldn't say I use it a ton at the minute.
Fair.
Because especially because I've been playing so much Elden Ring up until like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Fair.
That was literally the only game I was playing. But I do think it's great. And I've had it subscribed. There's a lot of people in my community on Twitch that would talk about like, you know, oh, this game just came to Game Pass. There's a game I'm actually playing right now. I'm going to tell you about it. It's also, it comes as like an underrated thing for me. Mm. Vampire Survivors.
Oh.
It is so freaking good. It's
big
like,
fan.
I don't know, like $2 or you get it in Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got a Steam Deck recently. And
congratulations.
Thank you. We have two in our house, which is just a really, really dangerous situation. Two of us are sitting at like 2 o'clock in the morning on the Steam Deck playing Vampire Survivors for 4 hours in a row, just recharging the Steam Deck and because it's so addictive. But
it's
really, really fun. And I feel like I keep talking about it to people and they're like, oh my God, I've Googled it. And like it looks like a really super retro game. And I don't really think the game plays for me. And then the next day someone says, oh my God, I hate you. I stayed up until like 3 o'clock in the morning playing Vampire Survivors. It's really, really fun.
What's the premise of the game? I love having like video games described to me. Like described, what is it? Like GeoGuessr?
GeoGuessr. Oh,
yeah. GeoGuessr's amazing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Like I love shit like that. Like high concept stuff where I'm like, oh, that's really cool.
It's like... You play as a person who's trying to survive wave upon wave of like vampires and bats and zombies and creatures and stuff that just keep spawning at you. And you pick up items. And as you level up, you get like a random selection of items. You can pick whichever ones you want. And then you like equip 6 weapons and 6 accessories. And they completely change how you like attack stuff around you. You literally just have to move. You don't attack anything. You just move. And
oh, cool.
It's so weirdly fun. Like, I remember the first time I played it, I was like, what the fuck? I can't attack. I don't understand.
Right.
But it's so good. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it other than that. It's just wild and very, very overstimulating, but very fun.
There's a style of game called a roguelike. And the idea of the game is you're playing the same kind of game over again. But each time you restart it, you get another item or you get a little bit stronger or you just have more information about how the game goes. And it's a style of game that has, you know, many different versions. Like you think like Enter the Gungeon or Binding of Isaac or something like that. But a game like Vampire Survivors is taking that form and changing it ever so slightly. And again, I think this all contributes to the whole access to indie games and the access to smaller developers that things like Xbox Game Pass or Steam give you, where it's like, hey, you know, we don't, it's about the concept of the game. Like if you look at a game like Vampire Survivors, which is just fact of the matter, wildly popular. It is, as Psyche said, a $2 game that, as Psyche also mentioned, is very like low graphical fidelity. It's not a super great looking game. But that's not the point. The point is they developed this gameplay loop that is so addicting and so fun that Psyche and your partner are staying up to 4 a.m. playing it on the Steam Deck. And also, for those not aware, the Steam Deck is a device that's very similar looking to a Nintendo Switch, but you can play games from the library of Steam. So it's like having a computer in your hands that plays so many different games at a really high quality. Like it looks
really,
amazing.
Really powerful, actually.
It looks amazing. But yeah, so it's just like we are definitely in a renaissance of like indie games and titles just having the access to people who are like, well, let me, you know, I'll check out this random game for fun because it's like small and it's, you know, cheap and it's really, you know, it's 200 megabytes or something like that. It's like, I'll download that. Let's just pop it off. It takes 3 seconds to download. I'll do it.
Well, I couldn't have said it any better myself. You guys really summed it up well. What I love about these games and this year in gaming. Psyche, it's been a real pleasure having you on Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So, as you both mentioned earlier, if you would like to listen to me talk with 3 other wonderful people about games industry stuff and tech stuff and talk to people that we consider to be essentially the real life equivalent of video game bosses, we have a podcast called Boss Level LVL. And you can listen to us on iHeartRadio and wherever you get your podcasts. And solid if you want to find me, I'm on a Twitch as Psyche. I stream a lot of different things. I'm very, very nerdy, as I'm sure I totally didn't give that impression at all today. But yes, you can find me on Twitch as Psyche, P-S-Y-C-H-E, and Psyche Plays on pretty much all social media.
Yeah. I thought...
Sensational.
I'm like such a gamer, but I thought it was boss and then some Roman numeral, like 50.
So close.
Nailed it.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, actually. So this is just a standalone tweet that I saw the other day. I do not know the person who posted it at all, but it really stood out to me. The person who tweeted it is called Feyre_Loon, and they said, "Recovering people pleasers will be like, I'm in my villain era and it's just politely drawing healthy boundaries." And I felt really personally attacked by that as a person that's who really so struggles to set funny. Boundaries.
That's funny. That's really funny.
That one was a big one for me. I've really enjoyed that and I keep coming back to it and just having a little laugh to myself.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That is, I am a recovering people pleaser.
I don't think sure. I'm even recovering. One day.
Yeah, one of these one day. Days. Yeah, that's what I should just say. I am an identified people pleaser. I don't think I've identified the tools yet. Same. To fix it. Super producer, DJ Daniel, where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff? And what is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, I just copy-pasted it in the chat so that everybody can see it because there's a visual part to it and I want you both to be able to see that visual part. But before we do that, you can find me on all parts of the internet at DJ_Danl, D-A-N-L. You can find me on Twitch Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays playing video games, Dungeons & Dragons, building computers, whatever the hell you want. And yes, please listen to the Boss Level Podcast on iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. It's a great podcast. We have really awesome guests. And frankly, for the past couple of weeks, we've had our hosts doing their own Q&As about, you know, their own journeys into the streaming world, into content creation, but also the stuff they use to stream. So it's not just, you know, kind of, you know, big picture advice about, you know, getting into it and finding what you want to do, but also very like nuts and bolts, like what do we use to get it done? So I think it's chock full of incredible information. So check out the Boss Level Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And the tweet that I enjoyed is actually like a response to somebody else talking about Mitch McConnell. And I think the original tweet is from Hassan Abi, saying, "I want to be 100% microplastics and breathe only coal. Thank God the SCOTUS is stopping the communist federal agencies like the EPA from taking minimal action on PFAS and CO2 pollution." Obviously, that is such a sarcastic tweet. But the tweet that I liked that was a response to that was Mitch McConnell celebrating his dubs the past few days. And it's the weird hand monster from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
And when you look at it, it's
does
like,
look like they're doing the.
It looks like they're throwing up a dub, but also that mouth is like exactly Mitch McConnell's mouth.
It literally is.
It really looks like him, and it's really gross. And I'm like, no, yeah, that really is what he looks like. He is a demon monster from Pan's Labyrinth. Anyway, shout out. That is from @MilanoCookies, which I also love. But yeah, that's my tweet.
Really good. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien, a tweet I've been enjoying. Jamie Climate tweeted, #, don't look up, missed the part where the Supreme Court says we can't stop the asteroid because that power wasn't written into the Constitution in 1787. David East tweeted me, amazing. "Good night, darling. I'm so happy to be able to fall asleep next to you. My girlfriend already rotating like a kebab to ensure maximum duvet theft." And then Jason Pargin, author of John Dies at the End, tweeted a question, "Go to Google image search and look for desk ornament." And if
do
that,
is this real?
And then he said, "Do you get a bunch of Nazi stuff at the top as the top results?" And sure enough,
really?
I did. Yeah.
Is that shopping or images?
Holy crap.
Yeah,
what?
No, it's images. Images for desk ornament.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's so wild.
Yeah, it's very strange. Anyways, that's he went very viral, and some people were like, "Oh shit, cracked lives and stuff." And so I was like, "Yeah, he's been out here tweeting interesting stuff like that." Forever,
Jason stays tweeting. He hits the nerve sometimes.
John Dies at the End, which is his very popular novel. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. DJ Daniel,
yes, sir.
What you got for us?
Well, I have a song for you, totally for sure. Actually, I absolutely have a song for you. So there's an artist that I really like. His name is Fred Again. You can look him up on the Spotify or the, you know, all the stuff. And he just released a song. It's a collab with, I believe, with Fortet called Jungle. Fred Again is an awesome artist. They produced an album called Actual Life, which was kind of like a Postal Service style album of collecting recordings, voice recordings, and just like random samples from friends during the pandemic, people who were stuck at home, and then produced an album out of it. And I say it's Postal Service style because, you know, those guys got started by just sending each other. Yeah, exactly. It's the origin story of them sending stuff in the mail. He received a bunch of samples and recordings from friends, turned it into this awesome album, Actual Life, which you should also listen to. But the recommendation is the song Jungle by Fred Again. So enjoy that one.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning, but we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.